Dear fellow redeemed, redeemed by the Lamb once slain for the sins of the world. Out of these verses, the verses of our text, has poured joy and hope like an eternal spring to the entire world. For here is the death of death itself. Here is the defeat of the devil. Here is the banishment of sin. As foretold through the prophet Hosea, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? They are no more. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death gives way to life. Shown first by the empty tomb. This is the record here of Matthew, the Galilean tax collector. Now, he'd been with Jesus from early on in his ministry, and he was an eyewitness of Jesus' ministry and of the risen Christ and of his ascension. He saw it all. And he was an eyewitness whom the Holy Spirit charged with writing down these things, and whose pen was guided by the Spirit so that these would be, yeah, the words of Matthew, but also the words of God, the words that give power, the words of the gospel, which are able to bring life where there is spiritual death. Good for us, because we were born dead. We were born into death. Every single person here was placed under the sentence of death when God declared to Adam, dust you are, and to dust you will return. And the same sentence fell upon us because we were born in sin. Just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Romans 5. But with these words, he is risen. The sentence of death has been lifted. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. When the women arrived at the tomb on their dreadful errand, can you imagine what happened to them when the earthquake came? Caused by the angel, we're told, forcefully opening the tomb and sitting on the stone that had closed the tomb in mockery of death and the grave. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. He then offered the women a guided tour of the tomb. He's not here, he's risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. It was empty. The tomb was empty. It wasn't open to let Jesus out, for he was and is and ever will be the exalted Christ who is the God-man, is present everywhere. No, it was to provide the world with exhibit number one of the resurrection, the empty tomb. Exhibit number one, that Christ is risen. Death gives way to life, and your sins are forgiven. The angel's presence also certified the same thing. The angel's presence brought terror to the guards, who soon fled to add their witness to the fact that the sealed and guarded tomb was now empty. With a word, the angel took away the women's fear. He said, to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." You know, that strikes me as such a familiar greeting. Yeah, I know who you're looking for. He isn't here. This heavenly messenger serves the same God, serves the same Savior whom these women serve and love. Only he serves with a greater and clearer understanding, without the veil of our sinfulness standing between them and God. They know what's going on. There's a sympathetic bond. I know why you're here. Our Lord was crucified. You're looking for him, not for his body, but you're looking for him. The very presence of these angels, these heavenly messengers, was a token of victory. Remember when Peter drew his sword there in the garden and Jesus said, "Put it away. Don't you know that," as he says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" It turned out the two were plenty to handle this situation. There to declare his omnipotence. Matthew only talks about the one angel who served as the spokesman. But man, what a word of consolation comes from him. "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I've told you." He's risen. He's risen from the dead. There's nothing here about some disembodied spirit. There's no sort of comfort. "Well, you know, he's in heaven and he lives on." None of that at all. No, he is risen. This isn't talking about Jesus in the sense that we talk about our departed loved ones. "Yes, my dad's alive. I know that. His soul is with Christ in heaven, awaiting the resurrection. But this is a full resurrection of the body." Jesus was going to live with them for a while. He is going to meet with them. He had an appointment. He was going to talk with them. He was going to teach them for another 40 days, even in his risen, exalted state. Paul recorded it in, again, 1 Corinthians 15. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." Some theorize that the 500 plus came together early on, pretty much right away, as the word spread like wildfire. "He's going to Galilee. We're going to see him there." All this, the fact that Christ was risen, was made clear by the announcement of the angel. "Christ is risen," he said. He told the women, "Pass it on." And so that began the joyful task. It's a task you share. You get to tell people of the hope that you have. You get, in the midst of trouble and trial, you get to say to people, "Life is really rotten. I'm really struggling." Or, "I see you're struggling. I can tell you We're not going to survive this. Nobody survives life. But I have hope. I have the hope given to me by one who is risen himself from the dead. I know that this veil of tears, this long drawn out death, ends in life. And they got to say it. They got to say it first. He's risen. As all of Christ's witnesses do, they were simply called on to say what they knew. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. We talked in the first service today about the mixture of emotions that we all have. Because the truth of this does not depend upon our emotion. It depends upon the fact that it happened at a certain place at a certain time, and it's fixed in time in history. And yet, the women were full of joy and afraid. It was the fear they had of the power that had created an eternal kingdom of life, that had conquered death itself, that had conquered the powers of the world. And they were witnesses of this. You know the word that is translated witnesses in the scriptures? We bring it over without translating it sometimes, and that's martyr. The word martyr or martyrian means witness. Many who would be taught by the Lord himself over these next 40 days included some who doubted, and they had their doubts destroyed by his physical presence, and they would go on to bear witness to the resurrection, even in the face of their own death. Even though pretending that it didn't happen would have saved their life. And we call them martyrs, for they were witnesses even with their life and death. They were witnesses of the death of death itself in seeing the risen living Christ. And finally, as the sum of all, we know that death gives way to life as we see through the eyes of Matthew and of these women, the risen Christ himself. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now, that word that we translate greetings is, somebody told me once, you know, Greek doesn't have as many words as English. And so they say a whole lot with just one. This word that we translate greetings really means rejoice, be glad. Boy, what a greeting that is. So Jesus said, rejoice, let your heart rise. Be glad. And the women were. And they worshiped him. It's part of that fear and joy thing again. They worshiped him. They were a little bit afraid, but they were in awe. And so they worshiped him. This is their beloved friend, yes. But he's God in the flesh who has done battle with death itself. And death lost. For Jesus lives, and so they honor him. And off he sends them to go tell the others. Meet him in Galilee, he said. The kingdom of God has come, and it bestows eternal life upon all who by faith enter into it. This was no little event in the history of the world. Boy, you'd almost think that it is, because we look around us today. I was at IHOP very early this morning, and I said, "Happy Easter," and the waitress looked at me, Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I guess it is. But this isn't just a little provincial, parochial kind of celebration. This isn't an event that, just had some significance among some people over there in Judea. Though many of those who heard the message ignored the truth, and even though the hateful Jewish leaders bribed and lied to suppress the truth, it couldn't be suppressed. Some years later, mind you, Paul is on trial, and he refers to the fact that it had become common knowledge, whether people believed it or not. It's recorded in Acts 26. Paul says, "The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then King Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Well, he wasn't persuaded at that time. Tradition says he was later, but not at that time. But many have been persuaded in that generation and every generation since. The gospel is unstoppable because the risen Christ is King. He laid down his life on his own, and he took it up again with power. As he promised, as he said in John 10, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the word of God. And it's the word of God, isn't just information. It's not just data for you to process and do with as you will. The word of God is a living power. As the word of God brought this world into being, so it also calls human beings dead in sin and unbelief to spiritual life and faith, as it has done for you. Romans chapter 1, remember those words. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so that message given to the first women at the tomb has passed down from witness to witness and witness to witness and to you. So don't you be afraid. "Don't be afraid," the angel told the women. "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." The tomb was empty. Death gives way to life. Don't fear. Jesus is not in the grave. He's risen, just as he said. And since he entered into death carrying your sins and was raised to life, leaving them behind and to declare your innocence, I can say to you today, tomorrow, and even in the face of death itself, don't be afraid. Rejoice, you are reconciled with God. Your sins are forgiven. And may we bear witness to that forever and ever. For the Lord is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.